You can just put that in a slideshow form. There you go. Turn this on. There you go. We made it back in one piece, which was good. Actually, we've been gone for 3 weeks. Actually, last week, my family was sick. We my son first, and then I don't know if it was my daughter or wife, but I was the last man standing. I was happy about that. Well, and I had to take care of the family for a while there. So actually, this has probably been a month since my wife has been to church here. She has gone to church. So I want to tell that, be secure. We're still faithful. I know some of you doubt us, but we're still in Jesus, okay? But we did get our visas. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. I think that probably out of this whole journey, some of you may know or not, about 7 months ago, my wife and I moved from the USA to the UK. I'm originally from Norwich. Thank you. And our goal this summer is actually to plant a church in Norwich, Norfolk. And that's where I grew up for about 22 years of my life. And I appreciate my wife's sacrifice. She's an American woman. Has a song in there. There you go. And my kids are born in America, so they're really taking the sacrifice. So we needed visas to get here. So I kind of had a brain freeze before I came here. Thought I could waltz into the country and say, I'm here, just let my family in. That's not the case. You need visas. And actually, next week, you can pray about this. Next week, we have a couple of couples coming to Norwich to see if they want to be a part of the mission team. So you can pray for that. We have a couple coming from Edinburgh and another couple coming from Southeast London. So pray for them. I think actually one of the couples, they've never been to Norwich before. So that'll be interesting. I'll fill you in on that one later. And then we go to Boston on April 8th to the 12th to speak there. We actually were in Boston for about 7 years. We led a ministry there. And then also on May 15th, we're going to have another pre-mission. I call it pre-mission weekend. So if anybody's thinking about going to Norwich, that weekend, you can come on down. Cheap bed and breakfast for about, I don't know, 20, 30 pounds. You know, Norwich, I sense the excitement. Don't rush the stage all at once. Also, over the next few months, you can pray. We'll be speaking in the south, the north, the southeast, wherever the Lord will hear us. Anybody? Yeah. And this is fun. We're actually, I have a school reunion in Norwich on May 28th. So that'll be fun. We rented out a hall and through Facebook and all these reunite. Is that an English thing? Yeah. That's kind of cool. I met friends from like first school. It's really cool. And then we'll, alas, we'll be moving in July. I can sense the tears. Hold them back. And then we'll be planting the church August 14th. So if you can pray through this, some of the prayers have already been answered, but if you can pray through our schedule, and it'll probably get a lot more get more busy as we embark on this endeavor. But today we're going to talk about entrustment. That is a word.
Is that a word?
Yes, it is. And let's look at the definition of entrust. It means to deliver something in trust, to give something, okay? To bestow a trust on, to commit to another with confidence. So really, entrustment means to give up something that is valuable to you, regardless of, a lot of times, if that person is trustworthy or not. Interesting. Trust and entrustment are two totally different things. A lot of times with trust, it's mutual. If you trust me, I'll trust you. But if you show no trust, I'm not going to give of myself. A lot of us operate that way. Somebody has to show some trust to us for us to actually trust them back. Make sense? Thank you, honey. But you have to ask yourself, what does trust and entrustment have to do with faith? A lot. Because we're in this faith month. Amen? It says, firm belief in something or someone for which there is no proof. And that's exactly the same way with entrustment. You entrust yourself to people when they have not shown any trust at all, or very little. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Why are we talking about this? I actually wrote a book about 6 months ago. Actually, I wrote it a long time before that, but it came out about 6 months ago. And it's called Baguette Moments. Now, a lot of people wonder, what is the baguette in there for? You got to read the book. And afterwards, actually, all the proceeds from the book go to the Norwich Missions. And after church, I'll be standing back there if you want a signed copy. Don't rush the table all at once. Couple of topics in the book. There you go. My wife actually writes a part in the book. She does a good job about our marriage, because you got to have entrustment in marriage. Sometimes trust breaks down. Sometimes you grow up in dysfunction. Anybody out there grew up in dysfunction? Oh, just me? Okay, thank you. I wrote the book for myself. Talking about prodigalism, especially if you have teens, preteens, where they're trying to get that independent spirit. That's a good chapter. We talk about entrustment in leadership, living an empowering life. So these are some of the topics in the book. And today what I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. Turn over to John 13. But it's good to be back. Thank you. In John 13, what we see is after the Last Supper here, we see just the final few hours of Jesus' life, and Jesus is stating to the apostles that he's going to leave. And we see in verse 31, and we're going to read through to 14:13, so a lot of reading today, so you've got to pay attention. And it says, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. It says, when he was gone, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God glorifies the Son in himself and will be glorified him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father, and as well, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me. who is doing his work. Believe me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do whatever I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son of Man brings glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So what we see here is the apostles, it's interesting reading that whole passage, because it shows the insecurities of the apostles. Jesus is trying to explain to them that I'm going to die. I'm going to go away. I'm going to be resurrected. But they honestly do not understand his mission and his purpose. And it's kind of interesting when we look at this, that Jesus was with these guys for 3 years. And they still didn't understand him. 24/7 being with Jesus. Eating, sleeping, going everywhere with him. But didn't even understand his spiritual purpose. Obviously they had the Last Supper. Jesus predicts his betrayal. And obviously his departure too. We talked about this. And there was fear and confusion amongst the disciples. We have these questions. Lord, we do not know where you are going, so can we know the way? That's what Thomas said. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And I always love this. This is the only sentence that Judas mentions in the whole of the New Testament. It's just right here. This is his moment. But Lord, why do you intend to show us yourself to us and not the world? But when you examine these questions, you see doubt and fear. Questions. And I think a lot of us sometimes when it comes to believing in Jesus, believing in Christianity, we have a lot of questions. Can I get amen to that? I grew up an atheist. I grew up, actually, when I first came around the church, I would try to take my wife out of the church. That's not good. That's not good when you come around the church to destroy somebody else's faith. Things will not go well for you. It's a miracle that I'm standing up here today preaching and teaching, because it shows somebody who literally was the Antichrist can turn around to be an asset and a proponent for Christ. So a lot of times when I see people, no matter where they're at, they have to go a long way to have the kind of hard-heartedness that I have. That's the reason why I don't get discouraged when people are hard-hearted. I'm like, I don't think you're where I was at. Do you sometimes ask these questions about the church? Well, where is the church going? What's the plan? What's the vision? Show me. Until you show us, I'm not going to follow. Are you waiting on someone or something to motivate you? Ask yourself. The funny thing about the disciples, they were very physical. They didn't understand the spiritual realm of Jesus. They didn't understand the spiritual purposes of Jesus. So that everything had to be tangible. Where are you going? Show us the way. What are we going to do without you? Physical, carnal, humanistic. Is that us? Unless somebody is in my life, I'm going to do something. Unless the church is doing something. Do I have to wait for an event or a program? Am I waiting for something? Or do I have enough in Christ to keep me going to live a fruitful and productive life in Christ? These these apostles saw these all these miracles and teachings. I mean, walking on water, that's pretty impressive. I don't know, that's pretty impressive, walking on water. But that still wasn't enough for them to really connect with who Jesus is and what Jesus' spiritual purpose was all about. They were asking all these questions. Where are you going? What's going to happen next? Show us the Father. Can I go with you? Feeding of 5,000, that's pretty impressive. Jesus was about the Spirit, the disciples were about the flesh. They didn't see the big picture. We talked about this. They followed Jesus for 3 years, 24/7 fellowship. They eat, sleep, and serve with Jesus, but still didn't understand it. Wow! They were always together, but not unified. And we look at a body of people like this and say, well, we're all together. We're all fellowshipping. We're all worshiping Jesus. But are we all spiritually connected? Are we all of one purpose and one mind? Is it really an issue of spending more time together? Or is it really an issue of spirituality? It's an issue of saying, well, I'm a committed member of the church because I come on Friday. Most people don't. I'm there on Sundays. I give to hope. I do this, I do that. We can still do all these things and still not be unified in the Spirit. There's a quote here, we are all so much together, but we are dying of loneliness. That can be loneliness in the kingdom. Sometimes we can be sitting with people on our left and on our right and still feel lonely and empty. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. There's a different tangible here. A lot of times we say, well, in the fellowship of what? The Holy Spirit. The connectivity of the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of what? The Spirit through the bond of peace. There's a spiritual attribute of the Christian fellowship. Let's look at these couple of passages here. Are you with me? Some deep stuff this morning. If you miss it, read the book. Alright, John 13, 15 through 20. Actually, maybe John 14 there, I think, actually. I don't read that. Double check. Yeah, it's 14, 15, sorry. It says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Look at that. It's a beautiful thing right here. He's saying, look, there's something better going to happen. I'm leaving, but something's going to come that will be with you forever. It's a beautiful thing, huh? The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because he has neither seen him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live and you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Let's jump to verse 25. It says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me.
so I don't overread here.
All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the what? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. It's funny how fear sets in. And he repeats the same passage in verse 14:1 and also in verse 27. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then also in verse 27 he says what? Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Because all these questions were promoting fear and loneliness. And they were like, where are you going, Jesus? What's going to happen? So Jesus is reaffirming, saying things are going to be okay. But I've got to go. Actually, things can actually even be better if I go. That my physical presence with you is so limiting. Wow. A lot of us are saying, well, I love to, if Jesus was right there with me, right here, right now, I would be spiritual. Really? What makes you different than the other 12 apostles? Well, if I saw a miracle, I would believe. Really? A lot of us have been around and seen some amazing things, but we're still kind of on the edge, spiritually. That's interesting. I bet some of the apostles said, if Jesus leaves, what's going to happen to his ministry? We've given up our boats, we've given up our taxes, we've given up our lives to follow Jesus. Is this all a lie? Some of us have been through some rocky times in the church, and I think sometimes we have said, is this the church? Have I given up my life? Have my parents not spoken to me because of the decisions that I've made? Sometimes, I believe even in an audience like this, we have a lot of insecurities when it comes to spiritual things. It's funny, in verse 18, I think Jesus hit it on the head. They never said we feel like orphans, Jesus, but Jesus says, I won't leave you as orphans. Actually, in Ipswich, I have a half-brother. His name is Lee. I didn't actually know him until I was in my 30s. My parents had actually kept this away from us as children. And I only found out because one day he had actually gone to Norwich, and my mother had kept in touch with him. He was put up to up for adoption when he was really young. And there's actually four kids. There's three of us that stayed in the house, but there's four of us. There's four kids in 5 years. So we're all in kind of quick succession. And it was when I first met him, it was kind of interesting just to meet him. He had my puffy eyes. You know, puffs right there. My wife called him puffs. You kind of call him puffs. Leave my puffs alone. But when I looked at him, he's pale in complexion. He's got the puffy eyes. I'm like, that's my brother. And it was so funny actually talking to him, just seeing all the insecurities, because I stayed in the home and he was put up for adoption. And just talking to him with all the bitterness and resentment. And even some of the remarks that he was trying to make was trying to undermine some of the things that I felt about my family. I know my family's dysfunction. You don't have to add more drama to it. And he was like, well, do you realize you have some other half siblings too? I'm like, well, I don't need to hear that. Yeah, let me tell you, I said, I don't need to hear anymore. But it's just amazing, all his insecurities, because he was put up for adoption. And not really feeling, especially when your family, has not accepted you. That just does something to you. And there may be other people out there that have gone through similar experiences. So the only ones who are afraid are those who think they are alone. You know, my heart goes out to people in Japan and Haiti and places like that, all the orphans, all these kids. I think sometimes, a lot of times, what really breaks their heart that promotes the most fear and insecurity is being alone, not knowing where your parents are at, not knowing if your parents are alive. I've always been fortunate enough to have parents. But when we really look at some of the most darkest times of our lives is when we've felt alone. There's a number of reasons why we may not feel, we feel lonely or neglect. I'll be honest with you, even getting the Norris Church going, I think sometimes I've really felt great that people have been supporting us, and sometimes I've been depressed. That I didn't really feel, you know, some people said, hey, we're there with you, and that was good, and now after, you know, a few months, they're not there. It actually happened while we were in L.A., you know, calling a friend, he won't even return phone calls anymore. Because I think deep down he felt like he let us down. I'm just happy with the friendship. I just take your prayers. It's just good to know that people are connecting with the kind of sacrifice, you know, my family and I have made to go through this endeavor. And just knowing that people are praying for you and supporting you, it helps me go on. But when I feel alone, when I feel I'm doing this by myself, it really gets very discouraging. This is a big one. No purpose or meaning to life. There's so many friends that we have that don't have a relationship with God. And they have a void in their life because they don't have a relationship with God. And a sense of lostness. Mother Teresa, we have drugs for people with diseases like leprosy, but these drugs do not treat the main problem, the disease of being unwanted. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible problem. There's several ways we can mask it. I'm not going to go through a list. I think sometimes we have escapism. We go through media. If we watch TV for hours on end, you know, Xbox, we sit there for hours. In our little virtual world, there's so many reasons why we can mask loneliness. Retail therapy, I always like that one. Impurity, pornography, it takes you to another world. It's self-gratifying because you're lonely, you have a void. Alcohol, it numbs you out. You detach yourself from reality. Sometimes, actually, what we tend to do is the opposite. We push everyone away. Sometimes we're mean to everybody because we don't want anybody close to us because we don't want to feel. We don't want to give of ourselves. So sometimes we act the opposite of how we should. It's interesting. People today will admit any problem, drugs, divorce, alcoholism. People don't want to admit that they are lonely. Loneliness is such a humiliating malady, thank you, that it ought to have its own political correct euphemism, relationally challenged, anything to make it safer to confess, because right now it is a taboo, an affliction of losers and misfits. I think for men, this is a big thing. We don't want to admit that we're lonely. Mike doesn't want to admit that he needs a hug.
you need a hug right now. Having a moment.
Let's look at John 14 again. There's some good news. I'll pull you out of this lonely pit. I will. There's some good news. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Can I get an amen to that? Trust also in me. In your Father's house there are many rooms. If it was not so, I would not have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. That's what Jesus has done. That's where he's at right now, is preparing a place for us. If we look at all the circumstances and poor choices that we make down here, and we take our eye off the heavenly prize, we will be troubled. We will lose trust. We will feel lonely. And it says, I will come back and take you to be with me. You also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. It's amazing how many reassurance statements. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and in me. There is a place for you. I will come back for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 6. You can do what I have been doing. You can even do greater things. That we can do greater things than Jesus himself. He says, I ask of anything in my name and I will do it. The Father has given you a counselor. I will not leave you as orphans. He lives in you He lives with you and in you. Excuse me. I live and you live. You are in me and I am in you. He who loves me will be loved by the Father. Reassurance, 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 reassurance. Just in a few verses here. Reassurance, reassurance. It depends how we're wired. If we're wired, it's like doubt and pessimism. But Jesus is reinforcing. Reassuring. Say, no, you can do greater things. I am in you. I'm with you. The Father's with you. Do not be discouraged. Do not be troubled. But why do we have to hear it over and over and over again? Because there's something wired in us. Left to ourselves, we're critical and cynical. That's the reason why we've got to be in the Word consistently. To get that reassurance that God still loves us. There is a place where we can go. And it says the counselor is coming to teach you truth. Who is the teacher, disciple, or counselor? It says the Spirit will teach you all things. The Spirit will counsel us. The Spirit reminds you of everything that Jesus has said to us. The Spirit will teach you all truth. Then you ask yourself, how much Spirit talk have I had? How much am I talking about the Spirit amongst us? Because this is really the reassuring factor. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus told that the Counselor will come. And when the Counselor will come, things will go better for you. It says, for you did not receive a spirit makes you slaves again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, of daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. When we live in the Spirit of God, the fullness of Spirit, the fear will go away. Who would like not to fear anymore? Have them insecurities anymore? God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill that void, to fill us up. To have the counselor inside of us. Remember that song? How does it go? Well, this is a good Brit song. My wife's like, what song? Now, ain't that a Liverpool song, though, ain't it? How does it go? You'll never... How does it go? You're never... Alone, alone in our hearts. In our hearts. Come on, Scott. Alone. Hello, in your heart, and you'll live.
It's Scott, ain't it? Come on up here, Scott. Come on up here.
Alright, I don't know it. I remember it's a distant memory in my childhood. I don't know, man. But it's still with it. Improvise. So how does it go?
When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the night. Walk on, walk on through the wind and the storm, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Lord help us.
I believe if you really embrace the Holy Spirit, that you'll never walk alone. That you'll never have insecurities. Because you trust in God. You have this intimate relationship with God. It says Jesus will teach you all things through the Holy Spirit. Jesus will teach you all truth through the Holy Spirit. You will never be alone with God's Spirit. Jesus is not with you, but He is in you. Have you ever loved somebody so much that you could, you know, especially like a child or someone, and you just can't get enough of them? You know, your mothers understand this. There's some moms in the house. Can I get some moms saying amen? Oh, they sing Never Walk Alone, but they won't say amen in church. You're wrong. Yeah, I got you, didn't it? But you never love someone so much. I know my wife, you know, she sees the kids and she's like, I want to eat them. I want to hire her. She wants to get such. The physical thing is not close enough. That you, somehow you just can't. Can you understand what I'm saying? Julie, do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you. And you love them so much. And you're like, I want to get so close to this child. I want to sleep with this child. I want to, you know, But Jesus loves you so much, He says, I don't want to be with you, but I want to be in you. That's how much He loves you. I don't want you to be alone. I don't want you to be fearful or troublesome. I don't want you to have these insecurities. I want to be in you. What passion. What love. What intimacy. That's awesome. It's exciting. And He does that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Acts 2. I want to end here. See, some of you may be visiting today and say, well, how? Okay, Mommy, you talk about the Spirit. It sounds a little bit eebie-jeebie to me. Kind of all over the place. Well, how do I do this? You know, ghosts and Holy Ghosts and all that kind of stuff. But in Acts 2, in verse 38, and they're talking about how can we get close to Jesus? How can we repent and change our wrongs? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of what? The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. For all the Lord God will call. And this is the beautiful thing, that we must repent. Believe and repent and be baptized. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is given freely to everyone who repents. But the great thing about the entrustment of the Holy Spirit, even though you're giving it, a lot of people abuse it. Because you've been entrusted with the Holy Spirit. But that's the beauty of God and God's entrustment and God's empowerment. But I'm going to end here. I have a lot more. You've got to read the book. But also that Holy Spirit is the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Romans 8:11. That is, we're not only been entrusted, but also we've been empowered. But hopefully this message today will show you how much God really loves you, what you've been entrusted with, and let us not abuse it, but use it for the glory of God. Amen. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Marvin for delivering the message for this morning. And he does have a lot more to say. He will continue on Friday evening, so come back here, part two from Friday. That would be fantastic. I want to ask Scott to come back up on stage. I respect you, Scott, singing that song. But not just Scott, also I want to ask Mark Ajakwe also to come up on stage as well. I have to say, when Scott came up, when Marvin asked Scott to go up on the stage, I could see Scott mouthing the words, "Why are you doing this to me?" But it all kind of ties in, you know. Even as Marvin ended out on Acts 2:38, this whole idea that we receive the God's Spirit when we repent and are baptized, and where our sins are forgiven, and we're added into God's church. And today we have the just incredible joy to be able to witness Mark, who's made a decision to become a Christian today. And in just a few minutes after the end of the service, we'll be baptizing Mark just afterwards. So that's really encouraging. It's exciting. The reason I've asked Scott up here is because Scott has been studying the Bible with Mark over these last few months. And I just want to give Scott an opportunity just to share a little bit about Mark.
Thanks, Mike. Yes, it's been my pleasure, in all honesty, to be able to get with Mark and with Mike studying the Bible. Mark, I've known Mark since he came to the church. What age is that? It's a long, long time. Probably, I remember Marlon when he was a little kid, naughty and everything in class. And Mark's not much older. So I've known Mark a long, long time. I've seen him grow up in the church, and I know his parents very, very well. And Mark is truly, truly a real credit to his parents and to the church. And getting with him has been fantastic. One of the things that, one of the most challenging Bible studies was sin with Mark. Reason being is because couldn't actually work out what his sin was. he's got such a good life. And I'm not really used to that, to be honest with you. And, you know, it's normally quite a long study, but with Mark it was actually quite short and sweet. Yeah, Mark is a great, great, great person, and he's got such a great focus, and, you know, I really, really believe in you, and I really believe that God's going to use you powerfully, and I can't wait to see, you know, your life unfold, and it's been really, really great.
Before Mark's baptism, he's asked me to read a passage of Scripture found in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" You know, it has been a joy and a pleasure just to be able to see Mark's commitment grow even over the last few weeks. And I was able to be involved in some of the studies, and I've just been really encouraged just to see Mark's humility and his heart to really want to learn and to be a Christian. And it's great also that Edwin and Janet could be with us. I saw them walking in towards the end. Where are can I get you to stand? Fantastic to be able to see Mark's parents here, and also Marlon is with us as well. It's so encouraging. Before I baptize you, Mark, I have two questions to ask. Number one, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
And what is your confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Because of that we'll be able to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so your sins will be forgiven, you'll receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit and be added into this church. In just a moment, Mark's going to go and get changed. We're going to close the service with one final song, and then we'll have the baptism short sometime later in the fellowship. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. And also, I want to ask us to remember in our prayers this week as well, Larry Samuels and his family. Larry just heard the news yesterday that one of his uncles died. And so I just want to pray that we can just keep them in our prayers as well. Let's go ahead and bow our heads at this time. Heavenly Father, we are really encouraged that we get the opportunity just to be here to witness Mark's rebirth into the kingdom. Father, I pray that as he starts his new life today in Christ, that you'll be with him, you'll strengthen him, you'll empower him through your Spirit, Father, to live a life of holiness and to lead an example for others and to enable him to help others come to know you, Father. Thank you so much for just the many blessings we have through Jesus' death. I pray, God, that we can live lives that are exemplary, Father, so others will be drawn to your light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.